If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Hour number two here on Gwen and Krista's Hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by U.S. Wellness Meats. Overwhelmed by processed food? U.S. Wellness Meats offers an all-natural alternative. 100% grass-fed beef, pork, poultry, wild-caught seafood, and more. Ship free from family farms. Get your 20% off your first order at uswellnessmeats.com.
I love a good souf.
Excuse me?
You said souf. I was trying to make funny. I love a good souf. Love a good souf food.
Yeah, no, that can happen when you're trying to read a read that you hadn't read before.
What is your favorite seafood? I don't like seafood, so this question doesn't apply to me.
Oh, I love seafood. My favorite seafood.
You seem like a crab guy.
I can be a crab guy.
I can see you just cracking the claws.
It's a lot of work. Crab is a lot of work.
That is true.
So, you know, that's not always that thrilling for me. I like a good calamari. I like a good scallop.
Oh.
Shrimp. Fish. You know, I'm good with fish. I get some good octopus, you know.
Like, isn't that calamari?
I mean, I'm talking about just so you got it, like, yeah, the rest of the great restaurant out here by Travis Schweigert, he does an octopus that's not calamari. It's like, you know, like a real octopus, like grilled, cooked. That's good too. Calamari is like French fries. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, I love calamari. I guess I like that seafood.
You know, that's kind of like, you know, the finger food, the one that's every, you know, the calamari is kind of the easy one.
Oh, calamari's super easy. I mean, I could eat shrimp too, but like at whenever I go to, like, Benihana or one of those restaurants and they do the shrimp throw, do you ever try to... They always make me try to catch it in my mouth like I'm an idiot.
No, my days of catching shrimp, that's past. I'm too old to be, like, letting shrimp hit me in my eyeball and, like, fall over to the side. Yeah, no,
you just reminded me. When I was... I had a birthday dinner at one of those places, like, when I was a drinker and I was not in a good place, and they threw the shrimp at me, and it hit me in the eye, and it like closed my eye for the rest of dinner.
I can 100% see you mad as hell that you couldn't catch the shrimp, and like, oh my eye!
I hit my eye. The guy started laughing. He just knew I was drunk. That's why
I get 100%.
I don't drink anymore, people. I don't drink anymore.
Probably a good idea, bud.
Yep. Ready for the Daily Gambit?
All right. Let's go ahead and get to the Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. On the chat, it says squid and octopuses are different, Scraby. I didn't know. What is calamari squid or something? Or
I don't know. It's usually got fried bread on it, so it's hard to tell what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm not a big seafood guy, so I don't know.
I think calamari might be... That might be... I think it's squid. I think calamari is squid.
What is calamari, now that we're here? Squid. Yeah, all right, I learned something new today. Learned something new today. Let's get into the bets that we made yesterday. Nick Pivetta and Merrill Kelly, who had more strikeouts last night? We both said Pivetta. We were both correct. He had 7. Merrill Kelly had 4. And by the way, Merrill Kelly looks more and more like Woogie by the day.
Like
day.
Who?
Woogie, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there was a shot of him. I think it was after he gave it the home run. I was like, man, that is Wookie.
He's just got way more swag than Wookie. You're right, he's rocking the Jordans out there. He's got a little more meat on his bones. But, man, that face, when he came in after the one inning, he was, like, looking towards the camera. It took everything in my power not to say it on air.
I wonder if he gets that all the time.
He has to, dude. He has to get that. He has to get Wookie all the time.
Yeah, he does. Though.
I don't know what Wookie's real name is. I just know that was his character in Something About Mary.
Yeah, great character, by the way. Great character. Next one was...
I don't know if he was a great character.
His character was a bad weirdo. Person, but the acting job was amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, that's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Who had more hits yesterday, Fernando or Corbin Carroll? I actually went and looked up Luis Arraez, so I should have.
I got it for you if you want it.
Oh, yeah. How many hits did Fernando have? Oh, he had one.
Fernando had one. He was 1-for-3. Corbin had one.
Yeah, so we tie. Because you said Corbin, I said Fernando. Now, the other bet was the Dodgers and the Brewers over under 8.5 total runs. You went under, I went over. It was well under. 3-1 Brewers equals 4. And that's it because we made a SDFC bet, but that is for later this week. All right, bets tonight. Diamondbacks and Padres. Over under 8.5, Tony.
We got...
Cease and Fought.
Oof. Oh, 8.5? So we're looking at like a 5-4 joint.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see. I'm going to go.
I'm going to go.
Over.
Over. I'm going to go under just so I can make up some ground. More strikeouts tonight. Fought or Cease? I'll go first. I will say Cease. Tony, Fought or Cease? More strikeouts.
Cease.
Okay, and then we go to Wimbledon. Wimbledon! Oh, by the way, Tony, did you see that there was some more AI controversy at Wimbledon?
I did not.
They have had to replay points because the thing is not
AI
working.
AI is messing up?
I guess.
Why isn't this a bigger story?
Because Wimbledon's trying to push this down.
They're suffocating the story.
They're suffocating the story. This time it was a ball boy that was running across the court, and they started the point or something, and the AI didn't turn on, so they said, "Oh, stop, stop, stop." It's like when we do a recording, Tony, and I mess up, and I go, "Stop, stop, stop." That's what they do during Wimbledon, which is kind of crazy.
I know a little bit about something like that.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. But anyway, Taylor Fritz, the San Diegan, is taking on Carlos Alcaraz on Friday, and it's the spread. So Alcaraz is -5.5 games.
Yeah, Alcaraz dominated this last match I watched, so I'm going with Alcaraz. What's the thing? It's over 5?
Yeah, it's Alcaraz is favored by 5.5 games.
Yeah, give me Alcaraz.
I'm going to go with Alcaraz,
I don't think anybody's
too.
Beating that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with him, too. Yannick Sinner and Novak Djokovic. Sinner -3.5 on the spread. I'm going to go Djokovic. You going to go Sinner or Djokovic? -3.5. Sinner is the favorite.
Wait, is this
Wimbledon.
Wait, Djokovic is playing Sinner?
Djokovic? Novak Djokovic?
Yeah. Huh. Hey, Trinity Rodman's boyfriend get beat? Did Trinity Rodman's boyfriend get beat at Wimbledon? He did. He lost to Sinner. Oh, all right.
Oh.
Give me Sinner.
All right, I had no idea that there was so much behind that one. Mackenzie Gore tonight pitching at the Cardinals. Over under 7.5 strikeouts. Tony.
Who are they playing?
Cardinals at St. Louis.
Yeah, book it.
Over. I'm going to go over as well. All right, that's it for the Daily Gambit. But we do have, before Tony gets out of here, we do have one of these.
Yes, indeed. We have ourselves lineups. Shall we get to them? Yes, we shall.
You want me to do it?
We go... A little change up. Gavin Sheets gets off his feet today. He'll be the designated hitter. And Bryce Johnson will play some left field. So, that being said, Tatis, Arise, Machado, Sheets, Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Johnson, Maldonado.
All right. That's a winning lineup in my mind right there.
Word up.
That's a winning. So last night with Luis Arraez's home run, before you get out of here, he was talking after the game about how he usually tries to hit line drives. He doesn't like trying to hit a home run, but on that particular at bat, he was trying to hit a home run. Like, when he says something like that, I don't even know how to quantify being a guy who can determine whether or not they're going to hit a home run or a line drive.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. I don't think he's claiming that he can dictate he's going to hit a home run. He just believes he's in a position in that particular count to hit a home run.
Okay.
Because of how that bat played out. I'm pulling it up right now. Give me a second.
I get it. I kind of get it. Like, because of the circumstances.
I think he was 2-0.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
2-0. It's more so I want to hit line drives, but I'm going to take a shot here because it's 2-0, and I think I'm going to get this. And that's exactly what he got. He got a 2-0 cookie, and he hit the pee out of it. You know, that ball got – I mean, he doesn't hit home runs where you're like, oh, that's a homer.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as he hit it, I was standing up. I was like, ooh, oh, yeah, that's gone.
He knew
it,
too.
He knew it, too. Exactly. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. So I don't think it was that, oh, I know I'm going to hit a home run. I put myself in a count where I can be aggressive because I feel pretty confident I'm getting this particular pitch, and he didn't miss.
All right, I'm glad I asked because that makes total sense. And I think that there should have been a strike called in that at-bat, and
that
it changed
was,
the entire at-bat.
100%. It changed it from 1-1, which is not the same. It's not that you can't just say forget it, I'm gonna sell out, but the percentages aren't in your favor at that point. And you know, it was just Luis being Luis, basically.
He's on a heater.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, what we got when we come back?
Well, I am going to. Are you gonna be with me?
I am not going to be with you.
Okay. I'm going to hear from Tori Lovello of the Diamondbacks. He was on with Ben and Woods this morning, so he had some things to say. And then I also want to talk about Mike Schilt and his ejection and what it means to players that Mike Schilt stands up for them.
Sounds like you got some good stuff there lined up the next segment.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I will be back, ladies and gentlemen. I will be back. I'm not going to leave Scraby hanging for the rest of the day, as I didn't yesterday. But he's got to hold
it down. Someone sounds like they feel guilty,
segment.
So...
More Gwynn and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Ooh! Hit in the air to deep right field. Luis Arraez towards the Petco porch. Gonna go! Fifth of the season for Luis Arraez. And the first run of the night as the Padres go ahead 1-0 here in the seventh.
That was Luis Arraez winning the game for the Padres. But he did say after the game, Luis Arraez that is, he did say that if Toddy and Jackson didn't make those catches, then that home run doesn't really matter. And he's absolutely right there. Matt Scraby here with you. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Gwynn's going to be back in a second. Chris is on vacation. We'll be back on Monday. We're going to talk about Mike Schilt here. Just a second, but tune into the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. on Ben and Woods. The Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. I want to talk about Mike Schilt being ejected, and we're also going to hear from Mike Schilt about his ejection. But I also want to talk or hear from Tori Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks. Now, usually we don't make a big deal about managers, you know, of the other team, but we've had him on the show. Ben and Woods obviously have had him on the show. Great dude. Always gives his all when he has an interview, and he's always been nothing but great to this station. So I appreciate that. They asked him some really, really interesting questions. And the first question that he was asked was, or the first question I want to play for you was, how did Corbin Carroll emerge from his sophomore slump? Because last year, Corbin Carroll had a rookie season to remember, and then he wasn't as good last year, and now he's having another great season this year. So obviously there was something, maybe not changed, but obviously he did something. So Ben Woods asked Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello about that this morning, and here's what he said.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I want to talk about Jackson Merrill and compliment the Padres and AJ and how they drafted him and developed him and put him through the system. And he's a really, really good player. At the end of the day, he's doing fine. He's going to be just fine. And these are just normal growing that young players have to go through. This is a very tough level. I think what happened with Corbin last year is that the league made some adjustments to him. He was trying to counterpunch. He was just late to figure out how to pull that off. And he became very hyper-focused on certain things that he probably didn't need to. And young players have young minds, and they go through young moments. And I think that was Corbin's stumbling block for the first couple months of the season last year, is that, okay, well, I know I can't hit this pitch. Mike Trout can't hit this pitch. Aaron Judge can't hit this pitch. But I'm going to try to figure out how to hit every pitch in every zone. What we've talked about with him is just shrink the zone, go to your strength, stick to your strength, and, you know, work through the pitches that you can't hit a different way. And I think he got back to his strengths. And rather than focusing on limitations, young players try to have no limitations when they step on a baseball field. And that's just the championship mindset that Corbin Carroll has. He's unbelievable. I wish you guys would get a chance to see what I see and talk to him the way I get to talk to him. Like, he's just a different breed, and he wanted to be the perfect baseball player. Nobody's perfect. You strive for excellence. I think that's what young players finally realize when they come out the other side.
That was a great answer by Torrey Lovello, and I think he's absolutely right. And it makes sense. I like what you said. Young players have young thoughts. Yeah, basically. I wish I would have written it down. But young players have young thoughts, which makes total sense. And he went on to say Corbin Carroll was trying to hit every single pitch that he was trying to prepare himself to hit every single pitch. And it's just not like that. It just doesn't work that way. And this does happen, as we all know. We see it. I don't worry about Jackson Merrill at all. I think he's going to figure it out. But I like that quote I like that clip where he says young players and young minds. It's very true, because Jackson Merrill has been at the top of the game at every level he's played at, and now that he's at the highest of all the levels, some guys are figuring him out, and now he has to kind of adjust, and he hasn't really been in this sort of situation where he is in a rut at the major league level, because last year he hit, I think it was 292 last year, so we all know his rookie season was really, really good, and we all know that he didn't really go through a prolonged rut. We're not using slump anymore on this show because Tony told me players don't like it. So the rut that he went through last year only lasted 4 or 5 games. Now, he's in a bigger rut this year, and he is doing uncharacteristic things like swinging at pitches outside of the zone, which is something that he, you know, was pretty good at not doing last year. And it just all, to me, I feel like Jackson Merrill's pressing because he knows that he's better than what he's doing right now. And he wants to be there for his team. He wants to show up for his team. And he might be just, you know, trying to do too much at the plate. We talked about this maybe a month ago. Like, pressing is when you're trying to will something to happen instead of letting the game come to you. And Jackson Merrill has some great looking at bats, and then he has some really, really bad at bats. And He swings through the high pitch is what is getting him right now. And I don't know, obviously I'm not a Major League Baseball player, but I don't know if it's as simple as just don't swing at high pitches. I don't think it's that simple, but there's got to be some sort of reset for him, and there's got to be some sort of swing thought that he can go back to. We heard from Xander Bogaerts yesterday saying that when Xander Bogaerts is in a rut, you know, early in his career, he listened to way too many people. There are too many cooks in the kitchen giving him advice. And so when he was swinging, he's like, my hand's got to be here, my shoulder's got to be here, my foot's got to be here, all this stuff. And so you're thinking about too much at the plate. And so in this recent rep for Xander Bogaerts, he went to Victor Rodriguez and solely listened to Victor Rodriguez. So there are ways that Jackson Merrill can go about this. And I fully believe that he's trying to get out of this. And I fully believe that he's doing everything right in trying to get out of this. He's too aware, self-aware, to think that there is nothing that he needs to change. And, you know, we said it last week, he's walking more. And so that is something that he's doing that's changing a little bit, because he didn't walk as much earlier in the year, but then he started walking after he got back from his injury. And those are the things that I love about Jackson Merrill, is that he's not afraid to change things. He's not afraid to, you know, see what's happening on the field and then adjust accordingly, which I think is really important for him to do and for him to know, because these are just things he's going to build upon throughout his career. But Torrey Lavelle, that was a great answer about Corbin Carroll. Corbin Carroll basically just trying to do too much, trying to be able to hit every pitch in every zone. It just really doesn't work that way. But that was a great question by Bennett Woods. If you want to listen to the rest of the interview, make sure you go to 97.3thefansd.com or go to the YouTube page, Bennett Woods or 97.3 The Fan. You will find that interview there. In San Francisco, this will tell you how things are going for the Giants. It's the top of the ninth, and Mike Yastrzemski is pitching. So it's 13-0 Phillies over the Giants right now. This is a blowout. And Mike Yastrzemski is not throwing. He's just lobbing the ball up there. Kyle Schwarber's up right now. So you got to think that Kyle Schwarber's looking to hit a home run or something like that. But anyway, Mike Schilt, he was ejected last night. And it was about, you know, the strike zone. It was about standing up for his player. I want to play this first. This is his post-game reaction. Oh, Mike Yastrzemski just hit Kyle Schwarber maybe in the head. It was a 65-mile-an-hour pitch, but that caught my attention because Yastrzemski is very embarrassed that that happened. Let's see, real quick, the replay. He's trying to throw like a knuckleball at him. Oh, it hit him in the back. Anyway. Why is Yastrzemski trying to throw a knuckleball? All right, I'm all over the place right now. But Mike Schilt, he was asked by the media after the game last night about the ejection. Here is what he said.
Yeah, you know, listen, I mean, I don't do that a lot. I think I don't think I know. I got a lot of healthy respect for the umpires league. The job's hard. I also, one thing we talked about recently is making sure that we're going to offensively protect our guys in the sense of, like, being stingy with balls, you know, not swinging out of the strike zone. And so I took a little exception with the 3-0 pitch to Sheets and carried it over to the next inning and, you know, had my conversation. And, again, you know, these guys got a lot of respect for umpires. They have a hard job, man. And I don't want to sit there and bark at them a lot, but I also have a dugout to protect and stand up for. And, you know, watching the game and you know, being pretty clear about what I was seeing and being able to articulate that on both sides, and I feel very confident I was right.
So there you go. He feels very confident he was right. He probably was right. But the reason that I'm bringing this up is because this is why players love playing for Mike Schilt. He isn't a guy who gets ejected from games often. He isn't a guy who makes a big deal often. So you know when he is making a big deal and he is protecting his players, that it means something to those guys. Nick Pivetta, I'm sure, felt a lot better about things knowing that his manager had his back. And it tells every other player in that dugout that if there is something that goes wrong and it's not their fault and they need some backup, that he's going to be there for them. Again, he doesn't like to be ejected. He's said this before. He prides himself on having a team that doesn't get ejected, and he doesn't want to get ejected himself. And when you see your pitcher, Nick Pivetta, getting visibly frustrated on the mound with some of the calls, you know, you slowly warm up to it. But then at a certain point, when you know that the game is could go the other way for you, you have to stand up for your player. And that's exactly what he did. And I think that goes a really, really long way. I know that, like, anybody's job, I'll just use mine, for example, if I needed Adam to stand up for me and, I don't know, not take heat for anything, but if I needed Adam to back me up on something and I knew I was right about it, I know that Adam would back me up and be there for me. And that's huge. It makes you want to work for someone. It makes you want to try hard for someone. And that's the whole thing that Mike Schill is doing. And Mike Schill is doing it right. He's not like the ejection for Mike Schill is like something that he wants to stay away from. But when he does get ejected, players in that dugout know that he's serious right now. And Mike Schill is there having their back, and that is a huge thing for this team. And that's why Mike Schill has successful teams, because he does treat the team like a family, and he treats every one of his players, not that they are kids, but he treats them like he wants to protect them. And he did protect them, and I don't know if it necessarily got them the win last night, but hey, Padres win the game after Mike Schill gets ejected. And we saw it in New York against the Yankees. After he got ejected, they ended up making a comeback and winning the game. So you got to think that that's some sort of boost for this team. And you got to think that that's something that those guys love seeing in the clubhouse. And I love seeing it from Mike Schill too, because whenever you get a good Mike Schill argument and you try to read his lips, he always says great stuff. And it's not like he's saying mean stuff either. He's just telling them like it is. Like, that was not a great call, even though that's not what he's saying. But it's not like it's not personal attacks towards the umpire. He's just going off of what he is being dealt by the umpire. And so if you want to maybe not get yelled at by Mike Schill, maybe call better balls and strikes, umpire. That's my answer for you. Umpiring is not easy, I know. And he said that too. I used to be an umpire back in the day, and I did not like doing it because I did not like people being mad at me for a call that I made. And of course, I was not an umpire at any high level. It was like 15 and 16 year olds, but still, competition gets crazy. I make a call, people start yelling at me, and then I eject them. I only had to eject one guy, but that was definitely something that needed to happen, because he was starting to swear at me, and the other coach heard it, and he backed me up too. So it wasn't like I just ejected a guy because I didn't like him or something like that. But you can't swear in a baseball game. You can't swear at the umpire in a baseball game where they're 15 and 16 year olds playing. It's just common sense. Come on, people. All right. When we get back, Tony will be back. It is Sports Court. We have a headline on MLB.com I would like to talk about. Also, something happened to someone on 4th of July, and they're asking whether or not they're on the hook for it. So we will do Sports Court. When we get back, Tony rejoins me on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Heading into Sports Court here shortly on 97.3 The Fan, I'm Matt Scraby. This is Gwen and Chris. Gwen will be back with me shortly. Chris back on Monday from vacation. Phillies win 13-0 in San Francisco. And if you missed it, the Dodgers lost today to the Brewers in 10 innings. The Brewers walk it off. And that would be two straight series that the Dodgers have been swept. And if you listened a little bit earlier to Tony and I, we were talking about whether or not our conversation should be, is the division in reach now? Because the Padres right now, with the Dodgers losing six in a row and the Giants just losing, the Padres are 5.5 games back of the Dodgers. That is not a lot of games. And I know that we keep going through this whole thing of, can they get the division or should they just go for a wild card? Well, they need to actually get in the wild card. They can go for the division because they are one game back in the wild card right now. Although the Giants losing is going to have some sort of another half game back. So if they win tonight, they will be in a tie with the Giants and they will be in the wild card. But with the Dodgers losing six in a row, and it's not something that they do often, I mean, this is the time to pounce. This is the time for the Padres to gain some ground. Can you imagine going into the All-Star break with the Padres like two or three games back? That would be awesome. That would be great. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more. If you were to tell us before the season that they would be two or three games back at the All-Star break, you would say, I'm crazy. But that could be the case by the time we get to the end of games on Sunday. Also, about the All-Star game, Junior Caminero is entering the Home Run Derby. He is the Rays' third baseman. But the division is not as out of reach as we have thought in the past. And when a team like the Dodgers loses six in a row, you absolutely have to take advantage of that. Like 100%. You cannot afford to not win games while the Dodgers are losing, if you want the division, which I know that they want the division, so makes sense to me. All right, Sports Court is coming up here. We got some good topics, and then we'll do some traffic after. Actually, let me put the traffic back in here. I just accidentally deleted it. Jeopardy music, Jeopardy music, Jeopardy music. Here we go. Sports Court after traffic.
Do you have a sports issue, San Diego? Do you need a third party to make a decision? The guys have put on their robes and picked up their gavels.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
Gwen and Chris Sports Court starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So it's been a little while for Sports Court, and I have received many, many requests for the wigs to come back. Now Tony's down at Petco Park, so he cannot wear the wig, but I am wearing the wig, and it's already very itchy. So let's get right into what we're going to do today. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine and Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit spiroscuisine.com. First one today is going to be, there it is, a headline I saw on MLB.com last night. And I know this is a Matt Scraby headline, but I want to see if it's justified. The headline on MLB.com when I logged in last night said, 12K Masterclass by Rookie Sensation. And in parentheses, Ohtani home run aside. End parentheses. Jacob Mizorowski, this is the byline. Jacob Mizorowski allowed a leadoff blast to Shohei Ohtani, but was lights out otherwise, becoming the first starting pitcher since Ohtani with the Angels in 2023 to strike out 12 versus the Dodgers. I'll just go first. Yeah, this is ridiculous. Let the guy have his 12K masterclass. Why can't you put his name in the title? You don't even put his name in the title. You say rookie sensation, and then you say Ohtani home run aside. Like,
you see how long his name last name is?
Mizorowski?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
rookie
care.
Rookie sensation Mizorowski. It's a lot of words for a title, man. And you wanted to get the Ohtani part in it. You know, it had to be it.
Oh, the SEO, the search engine optimization on Ohtani in there is great. But there's no reason for you to put the parentheses, if I'm going to say that because I'm a judge right now, the parentheses in the title.
Parentheses.
I think it's ridiculous. Do you think it's ridiculous?
No. And I hear here's why I don't think it's ridiculous. It was the one thing that he gave up. He punched 12.
Yeah.
Like, light work, too. It's six innings. But I think it is, as much as I am with the idea that there's too much Ohtani sometimes, that has to be put into the story. Like, the one guy that got him was, like, the first at bat of the game and bridged him. And then he was like, all right, that's cool. Now take this. Here's 12 of them.
You're swaying me a little bit. You're swaying me. Because it was a leadoff home run.
Right. If it would have been, like, you know,
fifth inning home run.
Yeah, mid-game, maybe it's not worth the mention in the title. But leadoff homer, it was like your first introduction. You've been blowing away all these big leaguers. Boom! Here's introduce Shohei Ohtani, and then he got back to like blowing big leaguers away again.
Yeah, 12 Ks, and I'll take it against the Dodgers. I guess you swayed me a little bit. I just think it's just let the kid have it. Listen to me.
I feel that. It hasn't. To be honest, though, it's not like they haven't been like.
No, they've been hyping Jacob Mizorowski up a lot.
So
a lot.
You know, he had to take a side little side seat for the title of this one.
I mean, Ohtani is the best baseball player in the game right now, so yeah, I get it. I guess a little bit, but poor Jacob Mizorowski, he's gonna go to bed crying tonight. This one came in from Reddit, and it's something that happened on 4th of July. On 4th of July, I did something I'm extremely ashamed of. After drinking a little too much, my friends and I decided to play some volleyball in the backyard. Since we were all drinking, we made the teams as fair as we thought. It was four couples, and each team had two couples. I tend to get too competitive, especially after some drinks, and this is where things take a turn for the worse. Before I say what happened, I know I'm in the wrong. When we were playing, I had the opportunity to spike a ball. And being the competitive person I am, I ended up spiking the ball right into my friend's wife's face. Imagine that scene in Meet the Parents with Ben Stiller in the pool. Immediately, the blood started flowing, and I knew I made a huge mistake. They had to go to the ER. Turns out, I broke her nose. My wife is still mad at me, and she thinks we should pay the ER bill. I don't think that's really the right thing, but I'm going to do what she wants. But, Tony, should we have to pay the ER bill?
Yep.
Wow.
You spiked a football.
But volleyball.
A volleyball out of just being a pure competitor. and it broke someone's wife's nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I hate that, you know, as a fellow competitor myself. Yeah, you gotta chuck that one on the chin there, sir.
Isn't that just like part of the game? Like, hey, we're playing volleyball.
No one's getting paid out there right now. Everybody's it sounds like this was kind of just a cool, and he sounds like he's the only one who gets like this, based on how he's telling the story.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I just think it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying that it's an obligation, but.
It is the right thing to do, but I don't know if they should pay the whole ER bill. Do you understand how expensive the ER bill is?
Yes, I do. I definitely understand it. And maybe there's a midpoint here. You pay half the bill, you know?
Yeah, something like that. But geez, man, calm down a little bit. Stop spiking the ball into people's faces.
Right? Is it really worth it? Like, you know, in order for a spike to like really, that, they had to be like pretty close range.
I would guess.
For them not to be able to get out of the way.
Not to mention, a spike is a pretty athletic play. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, to like hit a hard spike if you're not a volleyball player. I mean, I can just imagine it right into her face.
just like Meet the Parents.
Just like Meet the Parents. And then the shock that sets in after that.
Once the blood starts to flow, that's what everybody goes,
oh, and then you want to hide as fast as possible.
Crawl into a hole.
I can imagine this guy's wife just being like, Why'd you do that? And just yelling at him and everything.
Which in the moment is like not helpful. You already
are
like in full panic and you like all of a sudden being berated.
Yeah, berated is right. Like, I'm already feeling bad that I broke my friend's wife's nose, and now my wife is telling me how terrible of a human I am.
How do you do something like this? It's just all kinds of things. You're all
like, kinds of stuff.
Defense mechanisms come up. You're like, I didn't do it.
All right, next one. I have a friend that makes very stupid bets amongst our friends group. Last year, before the NFL season, he couldn't stop talking about how his Cowboys are going to finally break through. We had some beers one night. I guess I had a theme with this one. It's alcohol involved. And since I know he makes stupid bets, I bet him $250 the Cowboys won't win one playoff game. Being the crazy person he is, he said, I'll bet you $500.
Oh, take it.
The Cowboys make it to the NFC Championship. This was last year.
He upped the ante. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Even better.
As we know, Cowboys missed the playoffs, and I won the bet. My friend, unfortunately, got laid off midway through the year, and so money was really tight. I never said one word about the bet to him. He found a new job and is established in it. He's never said anything about the money he owes me. Do I ask him? I guess I'm up first. Do I ask him to pay up or be a nice friend and move forward without saying anything? So here's how I would handle it. I wouldn't ask for it, but I would make a joke about it. I would be like, if it was the perfect opportunity, I'd be like, oh, like the time you bet me $500 that the Cowboys would make it to the AFC Championship. Oh, by the way, you haven't paid me for that $500 yet. Like, you think you could Venmo me some $500? But I think you asked for your money. This guy made a stupid bet, and you have to pay it off. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, no, this is an absolute no-brainer.
Oh.
Like, you did the cool friend thing. Don't bring it up. And then he lost his job. You Didn't bring it up. Mm-hmm. Now he's established in his job. That's what it said, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, yeah. No. Give me my bread, player. Like, I need my chips with dip. You're already delinquent at this point. So, hand it over. We don't have no problems. And listen, I mean, if this is a really, really, really good friend, you're probably going to be willing to kind of kick the can down. But eventually,
you're going to have to pay.
Don't let us start hanging out and I see you just living lavishly and buying stuff. Then it's going to become an issue at that point.
Yeah.
So just pay. Just pay up. Because you know you want to, you know you got the money at this point. And maybe, you know, I shouldn't say that. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't have the money.
Doesn't matter. He made the bet.
And that's why he hasn't brought it up yet. But if these two are hanging out and my man is like, you know, buying drinks and, you know,
got a new car or something.
Seemingly is doing all right. Yeah, man. Break bread.
Yeah, I say the same. Last one, real quick. I just remembered that I wanted to do this one, but I didn't have it written down. Basically, here it is. This guy is taking his brand new girlfriend to Padres games.
You're not making this up.
No. This was actually to me, but this is the basic gist. This guy is taking his brand new girlfriend to Padres games because he thinks it would be a fun thing for them to do. However, she doesn't know anything about baseball. Anything. Like, anything. Doesn't even know what an out is, I guess.
Okay.
And so he's been to like 3 games with her, and he's so annoyed by all of her questions. And he doesn't know if he should back out of taking her to Padres games because she asks literally hundreds of questions during the game.
Listen. I don't know what
I don't even know either.
Is.
Let's just call him Mitch.
We'll call him Mitch. Mitch, my advice to you is, it sounds like you have a moldable young lady.
Ooh, I
that
like
is
that.
Willing to learn. And in order to learn, the good learners, they ask a ton of questions all the time. And so, just some advice from a man who's lived it a little bit. If you want to continue going to games and like eventually start to enjoy games with this significant other of yours, keep taking her. Keep answering all of the questions you deem dumb or irritating, because eventually she will get it. And when she gets it, man, you might have the best setup in this bad boy. You get to go to the games, enjoy. She's understanding. You're understanding. Y'all can both drive back mad as hell when they don't do what you think they should have done, and go drive back happy when you got a victory. If you don't, then she falls out of wanting to learn about baseball.
And your relationship is over.
Maybe not. Maybe your relationship isn't over, but you certainly won't be able to enjoy coming to Petco Park without having some side noise that you got to deal with. I'm just saying, you might as well try to just deal with the questions and the irritation of them right now, because on the other side of that is pure joy.
Pure joy. You know, that's a good way of putting it. I think it's kind of cool that she wants to go to games with you.
Absolutely.
And she wants to be a part of this. I think it sounds like she likes you because she wants to go to these games with you. I went and took a guy from Ireland one time to a baseball game when he was visiting, and he, too, knew nothing about baseball. And he kept asking questions, and you know what? I felt really good about myself because I had all the answers, and I'm like the expert. And I'm never the expert of the baseball group, so it felt really good when he was asking me all these questions. And then he would ask me questions that I legitimately didn't know the answer to, and I thought those were good questions that I need to learn how to answer. But I say stick with her. I say answer all of her questions. This is going to work out for you in the long run. Yeah. It's not a short-term thing. Like, if you like this girl...
Exactly. It's the long game. You got to play the long game on this one.
It's the long game. Anybody else complaining about this, you just tell them to shut it. All right. That is it for Sports Court. My head is itchy because of this wig.
It's
very hot. I'm sweating. When we get back, more. Yesterday we had some success with Padres trivia for a prize, and today we're going to do the same. So 833-288-0973, Padres trivia up next on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.